Hour number three, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Monday. He is Big Joe. I am Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier has the day off. Parker Kelly in for him. We say hello now to our favorite, John McClain, down in Houston, joining us, and he's presented by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to WOW. John, how you doing?
I couldn't be better, guys. Fired up about started college season, and in 2 weeks, the start of the NFL season.
I am intrigued by a game. We were just talking about it. Friday night, Auburn takes on the Baylor Bears down in Waco. I think that could be interesting.
Baylor, over the last six games last year, had a six-game winning streak after their starting quarterback, who was a stiff, got hurt. They had to bring in their backup, Sawyer Robertson, who had transferred from Mississippi State after he'd gone over there to play for Mike Leach. And Robertson was great, ended up with 28 touchdown passes, I think six rushing, and they averaged 40 points a game when he was the starting quarterback. Then they lost in the Texas Bowl to LSU and Nussmeier, and but Baylor's got almost all their players back. So we're fired up about him, and I know Freeze is on the hot seat, and they've already sold out every ticket. It's a blackout night in which the uniforms will be black. I can't remember many openers in which there's been more excitement for a Baylor game. A lot of it has to do with SEC. The next game they play at SMU in Dallas, but this one in Auburn has piqued the interest of Baylor fans across Central Texas. The fact it's the only game involving the Big 12 that night. So they've got RG3 has gone from ESPN, where he was laid off. His contract's up. Now he's signed with Fox, and he'll be doing the color on the game. So we are fired up about it.
Yeah, going to be fun for sure. So it is not fun for general managers and head coaches right now across the NFL. It's always the hard part of making the cuts down from 90 or 91 in some cases to 53, which they have to be at by 3 o'clock tomorrow. Any surprises out of Houston to this point?
I'll tell you something. Everybody gnaws on their fingernails over the cut to 53 when 16 of them can be re-signed the next day. To me,
true,
it's not nearly as big a deal as it used to be when there was no practice squad and the 53 was the 53. And, of course, if you want to put a guy on injured reserve, you got to keep him on the regular roster before you do it. And the probably the five – or six last spots will be turned over immediately. And the Titans should have the biggest turnover because they get first dubs on every single player who is placed on waivers. And they probably, well, I know they have. It's like the draft. They have every possible cut at every possible position. And when they're available, they got to make a decision. They'll have 24 hours. So it'll be very fun for the Titans to have that. The Texans had it one time. I think it expires in November. So that's why you can expect a lot of roster changes for the Titans. As far as the Texans, their starting lineup's already set. I could pick all but maybe a couple. I always love it the way coaches talk about that last game being so important for some of the roster spots. And I'm like, give me a bleeping break. Number one, they've been working on the first game. The Titans coaches have been working on the Broncos for weeks. And you tell me that Brian Callahan and Mike Bergonzi and their staff has had their players every day in meetings on the practice field for walkthroughs, on the practice field for normal practices, rookie minicamp, veteran minicamp, and they didn't know who's going to make the team. There ain't no way. But they can't say that, of course, because they want all their players to play hard. They want people to try to get excited for that last game. But they know who they're going to keep, and they know a possibility of guys being waived for other teams that they may want to claim.
What did you think about Terry McLaurin's three-year, $96 million deal that he signed with Washington?
Oh, my God, I was shocked that Terry McLaurin signed before the season. Just totally shocked. That's another one. They always – that's like I expect Micah Parsons. Either he's going to sleep through it on a table on the sideline, sleep through the season, or he'll sign. I think they'll get it done. We knew McLaurin was going to get done. It was just a matter of when. Usually in this situation, you compromise. The team has known for weeks they're going to compromise at the last minute. They need the player. The player needs them. And the player and his agent, the agent's told him the strategy, look, at last, when they compromise, we're compromising. We'll get it done. That's what they did.
Talking to John McClain on the Chase and Big Joe Show. John, Chase and I were talking earlier about getting out there. If the Titans need to get a backup quarterback to Cam Ward, if they're not happy with Brandon Allen or Trevor Siemian. We talked about when you get a guy in here now, John, it's like you think, well, you got 13 days for the next game. But don't they get like 4 or 5 days coming off for Labor Day? I just think it wouldn't be advantageous to go out and get a backup quarterback because you got to learn all the terminology and all that stuff. Just stick with what you got right now.
Yeah, and unless there's somebody they really like who becomes available, that's probably what they're going to do. Now, they've seen Allen behind the scenes like nobody else has seen. He's been around. He started some games. He may be fine. But if some quarterback is out there because the team thinks, okay, we want this guy to be third, and we're going to plan on putting him on the practice squad, they can claim him. They can sign guys off the practice squad. But usually if you have a veteran and he's smart and he has been around, those guys can come in and learn the system, the basics in no time, and they'll cram and they'll work 24/7. That's why you've seen so many guys sign during the season. But and there could be a number two guy that's cut because the team likes their number three. You know, I'm sure the Browns would never lie about keeping four quarterbacks. Excuse me. But Kenny Pickett hadn't been able to practice. Dillon Gabriel looks really good compared to Shedeur Sanders, who was horse, you know what, in his second appearance, and Gabriel got better. There's a reason they drafted Dillon Gabriel over Shedeur Sanders. They thought he's a better prospect. So I think unless the – you know, what if it was some backup from Cincinnati that was surprisingly cut and you got a coach familiar with him? That would be different. But right now it looks like they're going with Allen.
John, what's the last team that carried four quarterbacks active on a roster? Because if you picked any team in the National Football League that would do this, you would say the Cleveland Browns. I mean, I just think that's chaos up there.
Joe, it is chaos up there. C stands for chaos. I can't remember it. I'm sure it's been done, but I just can't remember it. And I haven't seen anybody writing about it on social media that's looked that up to find out, but it is rare. Of course, you know what they say, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. In this
right.
case, you got five and you don't have one. One, Deshaun Watson, will never pay. Think about what they're spending on that position. And unless Dillon Gabriel or maybe Shedeur Sanders at some point makes them think that they're the future, they're going to be in a market for a quarterback in what should be a really good draft for quarterbacks next year.
John McClain is with us. We'll have more with him coming up next, presented by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to WOW. Here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday. Continuing our conversation with John McClain, presented by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to WOW. And, John, you mentioned Micah Parsons earlier. I mean, I still want to believe, yes, they're going to get something done before the season starts. But I've been watching the Cowboys documentary on Netflix. I don't know if you've seen it yet. It's very well done. I've enjoyed it. And I don't know what Jerry's thought processes sometimes, and seeing kind of how it was back in the day just furthers that. So I don't really know what the agent, what's coming from the other way either. So I don't know. I wouldn't be shocked either way if they don't get something done before the season.
I'm telling you this, guys, I'm sick of the Cowboys. Absolutely sick of them. I feel sorry for all my friends who work in the Metroplex who have to talk about this 24/7, have to have it on every sportscast, have to write about it constantly. I feel bad for Brian Schottenheimer. That distraction is the last thing he needs. Now, Parsons is under contract. I thought he made a fool out of himself in the game, lying down on the table on the sideline, not wearing a jersey. I thought he acted like a childish kid. And, of course, Jerry's made a fool out of himself from the get-go. Now, if he gets done, it'll all be roses, and they'll be, you know, kissing each other on top of the head. Everything will be fine. And Parsons, I would imagine, needs a little time to get in football shape since he hadn't been participating in drills. As far as the doc, it's great. There's like people say it's a PR infomercial for Jerry Jones and the Cowboys. And I thought the most interesting thing about it was the overriding Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson relationship and how it affected the franchise. And a lot of people, they say they still don't know who was responsible for the Herschel Walker way. Jimmy Johnson had it in his contract that he had all, personnel. He had final decision on all personnel. When we went to Key Largo, Florida, 3 months ago and interviewed Jimmy Johnson for our documentary on high school football in Texas before integration, he walked us through the whole thing, how it came about, the ramifications, everything. But Jerry, I think, has talked so much about him being responsible for it that he actually believes it.
Well, and I'm curious too on that, the because I just got to the part where Steve Beuerlein, he plays Steve Beuerlein because Troy gets hurt, and then he keeps Beuerlein in, and they lose the playoff game, and then it kind of felt like, you know, they had the cut of Jerry saying, I pretty much told Jimmy after that we're building this thing around Troy, and that was that. I don't know if I firmly believe that either.
Absolutely not. Troy Aikman and Jimmy Johnson have been incredibly close for a long time. When we put Jimmy Johnson in the Texas Sports Hall of Fame, Jerry was not there. Jimmy made cracks during his acceptance speech about how far it is from Waco to Dallas on a plane, about 5 minutes and about an hour drive. But he walked us through everything. And one of the things he said is when early on he coached and Jerry was up in his office working on oil deals and ways to make money, and they were terrible that first year. Then they were 9-7. Then they won the Super Bowl. At one point, Jerry came down here and said, man, I want to be down here with you on the sideline. This is where all the action is. And Jimmy knew he's in trouble.
Exactly with that. Talking to John McClain on the Chasing Big Joe Show. John, kind of an overview now once the preseason's done. Give me a team out there that you like, not necessarily one that's going to win the Super Bowl, but one that you like, front office, head coach, team kind of coming together that you're keeping an eye on.
Well, there's all the big ones, of course, that consistently win. And I love what Sean Payton did with terrible salary cap limitations last year. And some people are picking them to beat the Chiefs in the AFC West. And I'm like, why? Chiefs went 15-2. But the one I like that's in the wrong division, and I like what's going on with the Raiders. I like Pete Carroll as a coach. Pete's only had like two or three losing seasons in his career as a head coach with USC and in Seattle. You know, he wasn't a bad coach with the Jets and the Patriots, but they have the guy, Ashton Jenny, I think will be offensive rookie of the year. They got an experienced quarterback in Geno Smith. They got some skilled position players who can play, and they got a good defense led by their pass rush. And I don't think they're going to win the division or make the playoffs, but I don't think they're going to go winless in that division. I think the division winner could be determined by the Raiders.
Oh, yeah. You know, we had Tyler Lockett on a few weeks ago during training camp. He played for Pete in Seattle for many years. And we talked off air about Pete. I'm like, you know, he's 70-something years old. He's like, that guy's got more energy than a 25-year-old. I mean, it just the way he talked, John, about Pete Carroll made you realize how many of these players have such a high affinity for Pete Carroll.
He's always been known as a player's coach going back to when he took over for Bill Parcells, and he's still that way. And whatever pills he's taking, I wish I could find out and take the same ones because he's a year older than I am, but I feel like I'm 20 years older than he is. But that's why, you know, you root for Carroll. He got fired in Seattle. He didn't like it. He sat out a year, taught at USC, and now he's doing the thing he loves, and I think everybody wishes that Pete Carroll would have success.
So you say Ashton Jeanty would win Offensive Rookie of the Year. I don't know if I necessarily disagree with that, but in your mind, what does Cam Ward need to do to either, you know, pass him or be in contention? Is it as simple as winning?
Well, they'd have to, you know, win 8 or 9 games, I'm guessing, and he'd have to play really well. He wouldn't have to throw a lot of touchdown passes, but if he didn't throw a lot of interceptions, you know he's going to run for yards because he's such a good runner. But I think they would have to win more games than they're capable. And I think Ashton Jeanty, because he's going to get the ball so much, and running back is an easy position for rookie quarterbacks. I mean, for rookie players, where quarterback is so much more difficult. That's why you don't see a lot of, and you see some, like Jaden Daniels and C.J. Stroud the last 2 years, but they turned out they had more talent on their teams than people thought. And maybe it'll be Cam Ward. Maybe he'll surprise, because nobody thought that about Stroud and Daniels as rookies, that they had a chance because they both took over bad teams.
Yeah, I know. People keep bringing that up, and I'm like, with this team, the things around him, I'm just – and like you said earlier, the roster's going to change so much. That's where – it's just so hard to figure out right now.
I believe, Chase, that if they double their win total, people ought to be excited about the direction the team is headed.
Yeah, 100%. I would agree with that.
John, before we let you go, with a week and a half now for the season starts, Chase and I talked about, you know, moving the season to 18 games and all that. You said a few weeks ago that the NFL would never move up to Labor Day weekend again, correct?
Yeah, they've now, when they got off of Labor Day, the TV ratings were not good. It started in a hole, and especially from where they ended up the previous season. Always it's like you're behind in a race and you got to overcome the people in front of you. So once they didn't play on that weekend, the ratings were great from the get-go. Now, maybe now they would be, but there's no reason. They're going to have 2 bye weeks, and there's no reason they couldn't put the Super Bowl in April up against baseball's first season openers if they wanted to. Because teams that host the Super Bowl, when Nashville gets a Super Bowl, after the new stadium, they'll have to play a season in the stadium before they're going to have a chance to get one, but they will have to keep the entire month of February. All the hotel rooms, everything has to be available for the Super Bowl. And the reason that was put in eventually is worried about disasters or floods or hurricanes or tornadoes. So they could play any time in February. And the truth is, because they're the 800-pound gorilla, they could play in any month. And it's like the people are panicking that they talk about playing in London. You think that's going to keep them from watching the Super Bowl? I don't think so, man. But that's why they've got to have 2 weeks off. If the players don't demand it and get it, they're nuts. And I always thought it was great. The NFL is so worried about injuries and concussions, and yet they want them to play more, which makes no sense. Mm-hmm. And it's all, of course, what makes sense is it's the color green.
Of course it does. Of course it does. John, thanks as always. Great stuff. We'll actually have some games to talk about next week. Looking forward to it.
Well, I hope it'll be those fighting Baylor Bears pulling that upset over Auburn, which is favored 2.5. Guys, thank you very much, as always.
John McClain joining us here on the program, as he does every Monday at 2 o'clock, presented by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to WOW.
You know, I was looking at that AFC West. He's talking, what a loaded Broncos, Chiefs, Raiders, Chargers. Just a loaded division. And then underneath there, the NFC West with the hapless Arizona Cardinals.
I know. They're weird. They've I don't know how to read them.
You know, for so many years, the Cardinals were in the same division with the Cowboys and Reds. Never got anywhere. And then now in the NFC West with the Rams, Niners, and Seahawks. Just nobody talks about them. Nobody wears their gear. Nothing. Yeah, you never see anything.
The AFC West, I mean, hypothetically, you know, you could see all 4 teams.
Oh, yeah.
Get in. I mean, I think the Raiders are going to shock some people. And I think that Kansas City is going to come down a little bit. not necessarily out. Well, but
it's going to happen, right?
Because the division's better.
You know who's been surprisingly quiet?
Who's that?
I'll tell you after the break.
All right, you do that. The Chasing Big Joe Show presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel here on 102.5 The Game.